Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Hey. Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Durant's break here. 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network, the Odyssey app, and YouTube. Good morning. Thanks for hopping in, hopping on, listening in, tuning in.
Hello.
Thanks for hanging with us today. We always appreciate it.
What's up, everybody?
Give us a like, subscribe, you know, the things that Dirt's always begging for on the YouTube. Do that. Do that thing.
Subscribe, please.
Do that thing. We got a lot of going on YouTube. Jake's doing a good job cutting up videos. We had Jamarcus Shepherd last week on Friday at 6:30. And so if you missed that interview, you can always catch it at the YouTube. You catch all the shows throughout the day. Us, the firm, happy hour, prime time. Loaded lineup here on 105.1 The Fan. It is December the 8th. It is that time of year. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
That it is.
As Andy Williams would tell you.
Yes, it is.
And it's not just because it's little baby Jesus' birthday and Christmas lights there, Andrew. It's because we got the college football playoff in our lives.
Yes, we do. Were you guys glued to Selection Sunday yesterday morning?
Transparently, no. Yeah. I missed the start of it at 9. I don't know why
anything.
I had a different start time. And then I found out it was a three-hour show. You're not getting me to watch that for three hours. I don't need to watch Booger McFarland argue the same points 9 different times.
I think it took them about 30 minutes to unveil the bracket, if I'm not wrong. They had a segment. They talked about the weekend's games. They had to do the whole, you know, or do you want to be a millionaire thing after the break. They did a couple of those,
the
and
teams,
then finally at about 9. They had to get the bracket out, though, before the NFL games kicked off, because the show started at 9, the NFL was kicking off at 10, so it's a three-hour show, but you knew that bracket was coming out before 10 a.m.
Yeah, so about the time I turned it on was the time the bracket had already been released, and I think you or Swag text our group chat. I didn't even know the bracket was out, and so I just clicked it on, and then I saw the bracket on TV and went, yeah. I think I almost literally nailed my prediction of how I think it was going to go, and that's not a Sprague was right. It's just simply, we literally were told that this was going to happen. So, like, I don't know how people were surprised by the 12-team result.
I think we're surprised because of how stupid it is. Ultimately, they got it right. Notre Dame didn't deserve to be in over Miami. I think there should have been a larger debate about Alabama and their resume, losing to Florida State, losing the SEC title game the way that they did.
That SEC title game performance was dreadful.
You cannot tell me, on the one hand, that teams are going to be, there will be no punishment for losing a conference championship game. Where did BYU go in the rankings?
Yeah, there was.
So there was. Where did Virginia go in the rankings?
Yeah.
If you cared to look that far down the
list. 17, 20, something like that?
They dropped a couple of spots. So why are some teams dropping a couple of spots, but Alabama's not dropping a couple of spots? So
resume.
It's dumb. You can't tell me there's no punishment and then punish other teams, because BYU was punished for losing a game in a similar fashion to Alabama did, and they were 11-1. So we're just making it up as we go. I think the reason that people were simply surprised is just because They got the decision right, but the way they went about doing it was the most ass-backwards way humanly possible.
Agree.
They could have ranked Miami ahead of Notre Dame for the last month. Miami's been playing good football. When they blew out Pitt by a wider margin than the Notre Dame blew out Pitt, there was your example right there. Hey, now they're 10-2. Notre Dame's 10-2. They have another comparable opponent. Miami's beaten all the comparable opponents by more points, and they won the head-to-head game. Now is the time to do it. They waited until neither team played a game. They tried to use the excuse that your resumes could change. The only resume change for either team was simply that Notre Dame beat Boise State, and Boise State won the Mountain West title. So technically, Notre Dame's strength of schedule got better over the weekend, not worse, but then they chose to flip-flop them. That's why people were surprised.
I asked you something real quick, and then we'll go through the matchups. I know everybody knows it. You went through it this weekend. You're fantasizing about how far your team is going to go here locally. We'll get to the audio. I think one of the dumber things from all of this for me was something that was made 2 weeks ago and ended up coming back up yesterday, and then you just kind of uttered it as well. Why does it matter to anybody with a brain if Miami wins by 27 but Notre Dame wins by 29 against Pittsburgh? Why is
it
that?
It shouldn't have mattered at all. The head-to-head should have been the deciding factor.
It's the head-to-head. That should have been that. They played largely a lot of the same teams because Notre Dame does that weird, we're in this arranged marriage thing with the ACC. We use each other, but we're not in that conference, but we use those teams.
Five of their games every year against ACC
so
teams.
So I the citing of like they beat the common opponent by more, like who cares? They played head-to-head, the same record. There you go.
Yep.
Doesn't need to be more complicated than that. Here was Hunter Yurecek. How is anybody surprised Notre Dame got left out in this scenario that Duke won the ACC when Hunter Yurecek said literally this last week on teams not playing and whether or not they could move?
The management committee during the offseason provided some clarification to some comments that were made last year. And indeed, idle teams can move following the results of the championship games and how they impact the teams that are around those that play in the championship game. And data such as strength of schedule, teams that may be idle. So, yes, teams that are idle can move up or down.
And Bama went ahead of Notre Dame. They told us this was going to happen if Duke won the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have an ACC team, and I just wish they'd be honest about it. They didn't do it because of head-to-head or because they finally got it right. They did it because the ACC wasn't going to make the play. There's no requirement. Are you going to go meet with Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, and tell him you don't have a team in the playoff? Although it's his own fault because he should have overruled the rules and put Miami in the ACC title game. They would have obliterated Virginia on Saturday night, and all of this would have been avoided, and you wouldn't have had the problem, and then Notre Dame and Miami could have gotten into the playoff, and it would have been a moot point to begin with, but you cannot look at a Power Four commissioner and tell them you're not going to go to a 12-team college football playoff. That was the main reason they ended up flipping this. There's an alternate world where Virginia wins, and I don't know if they make this call, and I think Notre Dame actually makes it, but the idea of Duke making it was a non-starter. They weren't going to get in at 8-5.
Virginia's in if they win the ACC.
Virginia is in, yes, but James Madison would have been out, and then it still would have been a debate over Miami or Notre Dame, but the ACC would have been included. And so I still think there's a world that if that happens that this sticks and Notre Dame makes the playoff, because then you don't have that same level of pressure of saying, hey, Power Four conference, you don't get a team in a 12-team playoff.
I actually agree with you here, but this was my only point, that they told us last week, without saying it, Duke wins that conference title game, and Miami will jump Notre Dame. All of their rankings indicated it, their comments indicated it, so to wake up and act like you're surprised in any way that Notre Dame got jumped by Miami. It's just wild.
The process is just so stupid.
It's a stupid. It's so stupid. We all agree on that.
What changed this weekend to flip flop the rankings? Tell me anything that changed.
They couldn't put a 7-5 Duke team in. that's what changed.
Which is why it's all so ridiculous and dumb.
You brought up Bama BYU. Here is your Hunter Yurecek on why Bama held in despite getting blown out in the SEC title game. Talk about a terrible football game.
Is it because they blew a 17-point lead in the Iron Bowl? Is that why they're still holding strong?
Yeah, but they won the game.
They got that fourth down, though.
It's a tough team.
And then that fumble.
And BYU started out great, and then they ended up getting blown out by Texas Tech again. Here was the difference to Hunter Yurecek at the committee.
They both had the same opportunity earlier this year where BYU went to Texas Tech and lost decidedly in a game where Texas Tech dominated. Alabama went to Georgia and beat Georgia.
Did BYU lose to a 5-17?
No, they did not.
No, they did not. Okay, I get it. Bama is better than BYU. Nobody's going to argue that.
But I mean, I'm all for, again, I'm okay not having punishments for losing conference title games, but you can't tell me that some teams get punished and other teams don't.
You can if it's the SEC versus the Big 12.
They were 11-1. How are we dropping BYU when Alabama had -3 rushing yards against Georgia? Bad. They were dominated in that game. Yeah, they had no life. That's the worst rushing total they've had in like 100 years of Alabama football.
You know what's going to happen is we think that Alabama team is fraudulent. I can't believe they're a favorite at Oklahoma. Like, they can't beat Oklahoma. So, okay, bet on Alabama. The funny thing is, if they beat Oklahoma and then they beat Indiana.
Yeah.
And they find themselves right in the thick of the national championship race.
In the Final Four, potentially.
And the committee, just like the year Ohio State got put in the Final Four, remember? And then everybody's like, what? Third string quarterback?
Oh, I remember it vividly. Enchilada. Yeah, they beat my team in the national title game. I remember it vividly.
TCU and Baylor, again, back to the Big 12, screwed themselves.
Yes, they did.
These conferences need to stop screwing themselves. I'll say that about the ACC. In the Big 12. Here is your 12 teams. I know you know it, but I'll go through it anyway. With their Big 10 title game win, Indiana, which that was a great football game.
Phenomenal game.
Indiana breaks their title streak, which dated back to what year again was it?
So they're calling 67, but that was a shared title. Their last outright Big 10 championship was 1945.
There you go.
And they had not beaten Ohio State since 1988.
So they break both those streaks. They play a great football game, and Indiana's your number one seed. Your number two seed is Ohio State. I'm not mad by this. I just don't understand some of the logic. So Ohio State loses in their title game.
Yeah.
But Georgia in the mighty SEC and Texas Tech having a one-loss season.
Yeah.
They don't jump Ohio State falls one spot for being the lone loser in their conference title game. I don't understand it, but that's an argument for a different day.
Sure.
Your three is Georgia. Your four is Texas Tech. Oregon stays at five. They will play James Madison. December 20th, 4:30 on TNT.
Yes, the primetime Saturday night game on Saturday, December 20th. Oregon and James Madison.
I told this to Swag. TNT got absolutely screwed with their TV games that they bought.
Yep.
Your 8-9 is going to be Alabama at Oklahoma, and that's December 19th, Friday game, 5 o'clock ABC.
Smart to put that one on Friday night.
Tulane Ole Miss in your 11-6 matchup, December 20th at 12:30, so before the Oregon game on TNT, and then Miami is at Texas A&M December 20th at 9 a.m. on ABC. The winner of Miami-Texas A&M will take on Ohio State. Tulane Ole Miss winner will take on Georgia. Bama-Oklahoma winner will take on Indiana. And when Oregon thumps James Madison by 30 points and wins easy, and Brock Thomas is playing in the second half of that game, they will get ready to take on Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl on January 1st at 9 a.m. on ESPN.
The weekend couldn't have gone any better for my school. It was a delightful 24 hours for Oregon on Saturday, because every outcome that you could have possibly hoped for happened, where certain matchups were going to happen, happened. And so ended up being a delightful weekend. And for those wondering, hey, like, why would you schedule the biggest game of the Saturday for the first kick of the day and then have Oregon and James Madison in primetime? The reason they did that is because the NFL plays on that Saturday, and so they have the opportunity to squeeze one game in before the NFL slate kicks off.
So their best game
and their best
to be their
game,
first game
will be their first game. Gotcha. I still think it's cowardly. Miami and A&M would have been much better to be played in the nighttime slot. I would have had Ole Miss and Tulane be the starter, because you could start early out there on the East Coast, and then you have Oregon be the middle of the day game against James Madison, a game that not many people will watch, and then you wrap up the day with Miami and A&M. But the reason that game is in the morning and the Oklahoma-Alabama game is on Friday is because they're trying to avoid the head-to-head with the NFL, and they know that the James Madison and Tulane games will not get big numbers for TNT.
No, but they'll still do really well. Like, they're going to get millions of viewers for that game, and so we can get into that. We got Dan Lanning audio.
We do.
I don't know if we need to play all of it. He didn't.
You know, I listened to the entire thing. We were texting about this yesterday, and I listened to it, and I thought, yep, not a lot there.
He's just not going to give you anything in these moments.
No, you're not going to get much.
He wants to be locked in guy who does the Ducks versus them when he wins the national championship at this point.
That is exactly it.
We'll get to that as well, but more on the playoff and some fallout from it next on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, welcome back in. A lot going on in the sports world. We're not going to have time to get to it all today, so it's going to be a loaded week. We got Josh Pate hopping on today at 8 a.m.
Man, talk about being everywhere. He was on a altcast for the SEC title game, him and the Bussin' with the Boys guys.
From him going to New York to do Get Up, being in studio, which is why we didn't have him last week, to him going down to Atlanta, doing a live show, like exclusive, fun Pate State show. And then the next day, being at the SEC title game and to what you just said, doing an alt broadcast, like, what a whirlwind. Got to have a million pinch me moments at this point of his career.
That's a pretty cool thing to be standing on the side. I watched a little bit of it because that game got wonky and out of hand. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Our guy Pate's on there. And I flipped on over to watch the altcast and it was entertaining. It was fun.
I watched most of the second half because that game.
It was over. Yeah.
Sucked.
Not a lot there. Only really one. Well, I shouldn't say that. Virginia Duke was dramatic. I don't know about good, but it was close.
No, the power ranking of best to worst for
Big
the
Ten title game was the best.
Big Ten
for sure.
Was easily the best. Yeah. That was two really good football teams. And Indiana just, dude, Indiana might win the national championship, and I don't know how to process that in my brain.
It's still hard to do. Every time I watch them, it's almost like I need to, like, is there a way on my television to just wipe the logo off their helmet and take Indiana off of the score bug? Because every time I watch them, I have such a hard time computing it.
Like an old player from the NCAA football game that he couldn't do names. It was just a number with colors.
Like Bonds never used to be in the baseball games. I think it was like John Dowd. They'd call him. He was a white guy, bulky, hit bombs. Like he refused to be in the game. That's what we need, dude. We need that for Indiana. Give me a fake university, and that will be the team playing Ohio State.
Also, Indiana winning a national championship before Oregon would do
it'd
what?
It'd be one of the most soul-crushing things I've ever been through in my entire life. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. If we lose twice to Indiana this year, because that might be the matchup. If Oregon's able to beat Texas Tech in the second round, in Indiana or Alabama, Oklahoma is your next matchup after that.
So the Big Ten title game was the best.
It's a wonderful game.
I think the second one was the ACC just because we knew that if Duke could win the game, it was going to get weird. And then they come back, they tie the game, and then Duke scores, and then they throw the pick, and you're like, well, there's Virginia being Virginia.
Virginia somehow coming back in that game to send it to overtime was a mini miracle in its own right, and then they just peed it down their leg.
Third is the Big 12, and I know the result doesn't look good. At least BYU opened the game with an 82-yard drive scored a touchdown. You went, all right, it's not at Texas Tech. This is maybe a different game.
That was a 13-7 game at the half, man. I know. That was anybody's ball game at halftime.
And far and away the worst of the conference title games. And I'm going to include the Group of Six ones in there as well. Even though James Madison did pull away and thump Troy.
Yeah, that game was competitive for the first three quarters.
Dude, I got a sense from the beginning of that SEC title game that Georgia was going to plow Bama, and they basically did.
They exercised some demons this weekend.
Yeah, they did.
They've had some problems with Alabama over the years, and everything. everybody thought when Saban retired that those problems would go away. They've met twice now, Kirby versus Kalen DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer beat him last year in Tuscaloosa. He beat him this year in Athens. And so that was one that Georgia needed. In terms of like how it affected everything this weekend, too, we're debating little things that don't matter that much because I think the seeding largely would have been the same. Texas Tech was already a one-loss team and they won the Big 12. I don't mind keeping them at four. Not moving Georgia up to number two made no sense to me.
I agree with that.
I just don't. They dominated Alabama in the SEC title game. Ohio State hasn't really played a team with a pulse since Texas in the first week of the season. They lose to Indiana. I don't understand how there wasn't. I'm not saying you kick Ohio State out of having a first-round bye. That shouldn't be the reaction because it was a bonus game. But because Georgia won the game, I didn't get them not flip-flopping in the standings.
I want to ask you, I got a question on that, actually. You know what? I'll just ask it to you then, and I'll hold what I was going to say.
Fire away.
Who got, of the four byes, who do you think got the best situation? Because I think Georgia probably got it. They get the winner of Tulane, Ole Miss, and we assume Ole Miss takes care of their business again.
It's a rematch, yeah.
That Ole Miss team is... they're coachless.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit to that. Like, if they beat Tulane, cool, but like...
yeah, would you rather play Alabama, Oklahoma, or Ole Miss in the second round? Because I think
I'd rather play Ole Miss without Lane Kiffin,
yeah.
Whereas like Oklahoma...
that's a big part of it, for sure.
...is so defensive heavy that if they have even just an off day defensively, they're not winning.
Yeah.
And Alabama, I mean, they can't run the football to save their lives, and they looked weird all season despite...
right.
You know, they've had a tough journey, no doubt, but... I think it's Georgia, because Ohio State has to play... and look, Miami... we'll see what they do at A&M, and I'm not even saying A&M is that great, so maybe you think it's Ohio State. But
right, right.
I think given the circumstance, I think I'd rather play Ole Miss.
I would take them as well. I also, there's an aspect to me of Alabama and Oklahoma that I don't really know what to make of either team.
I don't either.
Alabama's resume is strong, and I grant you that. They had a run there in the middle of the season where they beat a bunch of ranked teams. I would also like to point out that two of those ranked teams in Missouri and Tennessee did not beat a team over 500 all season. So, yeah, they're good, but all right, let's pump the brakes a little bit on it. Alabama's also been playing bad football now for a month. Like you got to call a spade for here now with where they're at. They had the South Carolina game that they damn near lost, somehow won by a miracle. They played, this is longer than a month actually, then they played LSU and the offense was just ugly. LSU was a dead team walking. Brian Kelly had been fired. They only scored 20 points against him. Just an ugly football game. You turn it over a bunch and you lose to Oklahoma, and then you blow a 17-point lead to Auburn in the Iron Bowl, followed by getting your ass whooped by Georgia in the rematch of that first game. That's a big sample size now of them not playing good football, and so I don't know how, I don't think I would be that scared about playing them in the second round, and vice versa with Oklahoma. Oklahoma's defense is as good as anybody's in the country. I also don't fear their offense in any way, shape, or form, and I think they're going to struggle to put up 200 yards of total offense against Alabama. So there's not a big fear factor in playing either of those teams right now for me.
I think you can make a real argument. Bama's best performance in that run of games you just gave me was against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They lost the game because they had three turnovers.
The turnovers and the pick six killed
them.
Yeah, I would argue that of all the draws, who had the hardest, I think it was Indiana, because A&M, Notre Dame, or excuse me, A&M and Miami is a tough matchup there.
I think it's Tech.
I guess I'm looking at it. This was from 5 days ago.
Tech has Oregon.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. Tech having to play Oregon.
The Orange Bowl.
And then Indiana, in the follow-up of that, if they survive the Alabama-Oklahoma game, then having to play Oregon or Texas Tech is an interesting battle.
Blasphemous to say out loud that Oregon fans already bought their Orange Bowl situation?
Not at all, no. You're playing James Madison.
Somebody just tweeted us and was like, how can James Madison win? And I said, well, a miracle, but I don't think they can in any way. Sorry, that game's not going to be competitive.
Run the Ducks bus off the road on the drive to Hudson.
I'll watch the whole game because I know we're going to talk about it, but like that game's going to be terrible.
Yeah, it's not great, Bob. It's not
terrible
great.
In a sense of like viewing. You're going to enjoy it because you're going to win a playoff game at Hudson Stadium.
It's going to be cool, man. I can't wait to be there.
Overall, now I want to say this as a takeaway that we can lead into coming up next.
Yeah.
I thought this weekend was a great weekend for Oregon State.
Oh, okay.
However, as it's been pointed out to me, it may be a very short-lived good weekend for Oregon State. And it involves the playoff. And I'll tell you how next. The commissioner, Josh Pate, will join us coming up here. Less than 30 minutes. We'll talk some college football. That's what we're talking right now. We got Dan Lanning audio. I don't know how many of the clips we're going to play, but we'll play a few. Swag pulled some clips for us. Always appreciate having some nice audio for the program. The fan text line is 503-864-6326. 1-800-926. It's where you can always count on us answering or responding to your questions or your thoughts and your feelings. And you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
What?
Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Just $30 for the first year. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started.
My favorite thing this year is going to be after last December/January, everybody telling Oregon fans to stop making excuses of why they got screwed by the seeding to then turn around and make excuses why my team's going on a run in the playoffs. Well, the only reason you're going on a run is because of matchups. Like, yeah, that's a sport we live in now that a lot of it is determined on who do you play and when do you play them and who's on your side of the bracket and who's not on your side of the bracket.
Had Penn State get to the semifinals last year.
Exactly. How did the Blazers make a conference finals? Because they didn't have to play the Warriors in the second round. If they played the Warriors in the second round, guess who doesn't make a conference finals?
So I teased before the break. Great weekend for your team.
Phenomenal weekend. Could not have gone any better. Every result that we needed and rooted for literally happened.
Of the four seeds, is that the team you want to play the most?
Without a doubt. It's not a guarantee you could beat Texas Tech, but if I could play anybody in the top four in the first or second round of the playoffs, I would take them in a heartbeat.
Over any of the other
three? Any of the other teams.
Man, I would have thought you kind of were tasting, you want to taste that Ohio State rematch.
Nah, I'm good there, man. I mean, if we play them, we'll play them, but I'm all right. I'm okay. Georgia, no thanks. You guys go ahead and battle it out on the other side of the bracket.
From them.
You guys go ahead and hang out over there. We're going to hang out over here.
Okay.
So the one seed is a team who now all of a sudden your one loss on the year looks better. Ironically, who cares about that? But it is something. So Indiana is undefeated and won the Big Ten. I think for a lot of people, even still last week, where there was that like, yeah, but you're Indiana. And then they beat Ohio State, so they beat the two other best teams in the Big Ten this year.
Are we done doing that to them?
We should be.
It
shouldn't exist anymore. I think Mendoza's going to probably win the Heisman after the weekend, too. Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
Did we pull his post?
We'll pull. If we haven't pulled it, I'll send it. Make sure we get it for at some point in the show. Because that was the highlight maybe of the entire weekend. So Indiana wins, makes your one loss look better. You get matched up with Texas Tech. Of all the four teams that you could play, Texas Tech is the team that you want. Your matchup, if you win that game, is a rematch against Indiana. So you have the
well, it could be
film
Bama.
On them. It could be Bama too. Yeah, very true. Well, now you're doing it to Indiana. Indiana not
no,
gonna...
I'm just, you said it could be Indiana. It could be Bama.
It very well could be Oklahoma for
could
all
be
we
Oklahoma.
Know. You have no idea how this is all going to play out, and Oregon is going to have to beat Texas Tech in order to get there, and I don't even know if they could beat Texas Tech, but of all the teams you want to play, that's the team you wanted to play.
I'll put a poll question on that. So a great day for Oregon Duck fan, and I would make an argument, and I already have, great weekend for Oregon State. Now, I know what you're going to say, but I'll say, until it changes, the fact that two group of five teams made the playoff, look, until I see the rule changed, you basically were told this weekend, you got a shot to get in the playoff ASAP.
Can you be better than James Madison?
I mean, I don't know, because James Madison's been remarkable from Cignetti down to Chesney, and we'll see what they do with the next guy. But, like,
sure.
I think if you're an Oregon State fan and you've had nothing but crap sandwiches handed to you since the Pac-12 blew up and your coach sucked and your AD's questionable, and all right, well, now you got a motivated guy. He's recruiting his butt off. He instantly flips a four-star recruit. Gets a couple guys in there that give you, you know, some hope. You know he's getting at the portal. If Jamarcus Shepherd is going to live up to where we're all feeling like he's going to live up, you're going to have a great shot to get in this conversation in the next 2 years. And so until that rule changes, and it very well could, I would not be surprised at all.
I don't
all.
Know how you change it, though. Like, what terminology do you put in to keep this from happening
we'll
again?
We'll figure it out, because my big takeaway, and Pate jumped into these waters as well, was the, get out of here, there shouldn't be two of these. And I understand the point spreads.
I mean, there shouldn't
that.
Be two of them. I agree with that.
That's fine.
But when that's the rules, I don't know how you change that.
Well, look, maybe you could say it's my position here. I also find it laughable that those teams took care of their own business, whether you think their business was that hard or not. They took care of their business, and they're in it. I don't know why. Basically, what I think is the world is just screaming because they want the Big Ten and SEC to have a playoff is my takeaway.
Mm.
Because I don't know why people care so, so much. Like, you could say, well, it's Notre Dame. How about Notre Dame beat A&M or Miami?
Yeah, Notre Dame's better than Tulane and James Madison, but they also lost the two big games that they played this year.
So sometimes, you know, you got to handle your schedule. Those teams handled their schedule. My point is, until they make the tweak and the change or expand, I think it was a great weekend because Oregon State fan has some optimism. Like, you know, we're never going to win the national championship.
No.
But my God, we could get just having a playoff game is fun.
I mean, that was the whole argument when everything crumbled and it's devastating and you're not quite sure where the future is going to go. The only benefit to any of that was you're going to have a better pathway to the college football playoff now. the pathway in the old Pac-12 might have been alive, but Oregon, when was the last time Oregon State won an outright Pac-12 championship?
Well, right? It was certainly going to be a very tough task.
We're talking like World War II. It's very similar to Indiana, right? So like overcoming that is not going to be easy, and that would have been the path. Maybe you get an at-large 1 year here or there, and they certainly would have been in the mix for that the way they were trending in the last few years under Smith. But now to have a guaranteed spot, there is a path there, and that's the only benefit of the new realignment and the new situation that you're in. I don't know how you go about taking the verbiage out, because unless you go to a system where there's play-ins, and that's ultimately what I want. I want to get rid of conference championship weekend and have this past weekend be whatever number of teams you say, all right, you're in based on what you did in the regular season. Everybody else, whether it's like 8 plays, 15, and so on and so forth, and there's a play-in for the last handful of spots. I'd also love to see a point where we get to a group of 5 play-in. I think that would be a more entertaining game, where this past weekend,
a mini playoff for the group of
5
teams?
You would essentially just take who are the 2 highest ranked G5 teams. You play each other. The winner of that game goes to the college football playoff. And to me, that's a way to fix this past weekend, because the Indiana-Ohio State game was great. Georgia dominated Alabama, and Virginia and Duke had controversy and drama because you're like, oh my God, is a 7-5 team really going to win this conference? Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean that much. And Ohio State could very well lose that game and go on to win another national title.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's room for all of these things to be true. I think there's room for the conference championship win to matter and be important. I think that can exist. I think you can also say, well, you can still lose these conference championship games and go on a run and win a national championship. That exists. We watched Ohio State do that last year.
They didn't even play in the conference title game last year.
What I would say is Indiana-Ohio State was a great football game. I felt watching it, that meant a lot to Indiana.
For sure did.
Right? Not that it didn't mean anything to Ohio State. I think Ohio State wanted to win a conference title
as well.
It
clearly meant more to Indiana. I mean, that was a massive deal for Indiana. That's the biggest win in the history of their college football
program. However we parse out caring, I felt watching the game, two teams wanting to win a conference championship game. I loved that. Georgia? Like, I think that's the other thing. We're taking the blowout wins and we're saying, well, they didn't matter because the teams are still in. I think Georgia cared a lot about winning the SEC. Yeah. I think Kirby Smart said as much all week that it was a real opportunity for them to, you know, to end their season on a high, to right a wrong they had this season and losing at home to Alabama, having that home win streak get snapped. And then I know the same result happened in the Big 12. Texas Tech. Had they ever outright won the Big 12 like that?
I don't believe so.
They blew out BYU. That game meant a big deal. That was a great deal for Texas Tech to win that conference championship. And that was my takeaway was, I said on Friday, I hate that those games, fans are just like, I don't want to be in it. I want the rest and I want the host. Like Oregon fan was saying this because of what happened last year. And my only thing was, I like that those games matter, and watching it, every single one of them. Don't tell me that game didn't mean anything to Duke, even though I knew Duke wasn't making it.
Oh, sure. Manny Diaz and his beard looking like a Unabomber saying we should go to the playoffs. It's like, calm down, Manny, but you won a conference title before Mario Cristobal did.
Right. He won a conference title before Mario, but Mario's going to the playoff. What a weird situation Miami fans in.
Very weird situation.
But my point is, like, I felt like those coaches and those teams, it mattered to them to win those games.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I think it was still important to a lot of teams that played. To me, there's ways that you can tweak this and change this to make it less controversial and less reliant upon a stupid committee having to decide. I think it's a spin on the final weekend, having games that kind of go on all day that are more meaningful. But to the point about it being beneficial to Oregon State, right now the language is the 5 highest ranked conference champions. Now, they never in a million years envisioned the fact that one of those is not a Power 4 team. That's the disaster here. So
how do they change it to improve
the first
it?
Change should simply be in terms of conference championship games when there's tiebreakers in these bloated, stupid, overloaded conferences.
Which is the biggest problem here.
That's the issue, is that you change the verbiage on who goes to play for your conference championship. The fact that it was Duke at 7-5 that got in based on the 7th tiebreaker with 4 other teams.
It should have been Miami.
Is the main issue here. And if Miami goes to the ACC title game, did anybody watch Virginia on Saturday night? Like, Miami's going to kill them.
Yep.
It's not going to be close. Virginia sucked all year. They won a bunch of close games. They should have lost to the Cougs, who all of a sudden need a new head coach, but I digress. That's how you fix it, I think, in the first. Outside of that, I don't know what else you do. I genuinely don't. Because I would like to see...
Will you expand?
Yeah.
That's the thing that... I hope it doesn't happen. I like it at 12.
I'm cool with it sticking
to 12. But Dellinger
put
it at 20. Did you see the 24 bracket?
The 24 bracket sucked. The 16 bracket I would not be opposed to. The 16 bracket.
I disagree with you, by the way. Like, I wouldn't.
I would. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not saying I wanted it to expand.
I think we're getting ridiculous with this, and I think we're way overreacting to like one team being left out of the whole thing.
Sure. For sure.
But also, I'm not going to act like I didn't see the 24, which is funny, your opinion on that, because you're kind of been like a huge expansionist with Mike Leach of like opened it up to 30 to 50.
Yeah.
I saw the 24 bracket, and while most of those teams, if not almost all of them, are not winning it,
yeah,
I'm not going to act like I wouldn't be excited to watch most of those games.
To me, the 16 makes more sense. So the 16 would essentially be you take away buys. So nobody has a buy, and the first two rounds are at home.
Which I like.
So here are your matchups quickly. JMU would be playing at Indiana because they'd be the last seeded team in at 16. Indiana's the one seed.
His old guys.
Alabama would be at Oklahoma. Ironically, that matchup stays the same. Texas would be at Texas Tech.
Juicy.
BYU would be at Oregon.
Juicy.
Better game. Tulane would be at Ohio State. So your two G6s would go against one or two. So it's essentially a bye for them. You're not giving the bye to the five seed. Miami would be an A&M. That game would stay the same. You would get Vanderbilt at Georgia, and you would get Notre Dame at Ole Miss.
I mean, that's
I'm not opposed to that in any way, shape, or form.
I think a bigger deal than Miami getting in over Notre Dame, and even though that's the lead story today, Notre Dame not doing a bowl game, and they didn't get in, and how dare they, like how we have two group of five teams. The bigger deal to me is in the second year, the 12 team?
Yes, year two.
In year two of the 12 team, the biggest takeaway I have so far is that it is absolutely a privilege to want to be the five seed.
It's the best spot to be.
It's the best spot to be. And it should. And look, I'm not mad at Oregon for this because this happened to Ohio State last year.
It's a format problem.
It's crazy that the top four teams have to go a month without playing.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a team like Texas Tech who, hey, here's your reward. You're off for a month. Oregon's off for 3 weeks, but Oregon will get a ramp-up game against James Madison.
You essentially get a practice playoff game.
And then you both travel to Florida, and Oregon's played, and you have tried to simulate a game, but you can't simulate a game without playing a game.
Not to mention all those banged-up wide receivers. If you don't want to play them against James Madison, so, you don't have to. You could give them another 2 weeks off.
It ain't two group of five teams or the lack of Notre Dame for me. My biggest takeaway is the biggest broken part of this is that it's the best to be the five seed. That's crazy to me and how unfair that's got to feel if you're one of the top four seeds
who
won their conference.
Feels great. I don't know what you're talking about.
I get
dude.
It. I get it. I'm not arguing against you. I'm just like, the idea of this is crazy.
Look, sometimes the universe hands you, after an undefeated season where you win the Big Ten, your first playoff game is against the best team in college football who you already beat that year and now you have to go beat again. And other times you get James Madison in a warm-up playoff game at home. So sometimes the world gives it to you.
And the best kick time, by the way, for the fan base.
It's absolutely
on a
home game. Everybody's going to be drinking and boozing all day, and I know it's James Madison, but that place is going to be jacked up. So yeah, it's, you know, no complaints coming from this side of the table.
Josh Pate's going to join us at 8 a.m. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
We'll get to Josh Pate coming up at 8. Wanted to, we'll get to the landing audio at the back end of the show. Wanted to play a little bit of a
peekaboo
on the opponent you're going to have. We probably won't dive into it a whole lot this week, given the way the schedule is. But just like your first reaction to, I don't care how disrespectful it is, you guys are going to blow out James Madison. That's not going to be a competitive game in any way, nor should it be. So I'm going to do the thing that most people hate doing, but I think we're all kind of doing it. We're just going to slot Oregon over in that 5-4 matchup at the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
One, pretty kind of exciting to go to the Orange Bowl. You don't go to the Orange Bowl. Have you ever?
Well, that's the other benefit of winning that game is that there was an alternate world where that game was played in Dallas, which is closer for Duck fans, but also in backyard territory for Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And so Texas Tech will probably still outnumber you because it's closer for them, and they got, I mean, Oregon knows they're going to be there and Texas Tech knows they're going to be there, but very expensive to get to Miami around New Year's Eve, I would imagine, from Portland, Oregon or Eugene, Oregon.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that's a fun little matchup there in Miami.
And you wanted that of the top four. I'm just curious your thoughts of the matchup, and you can certainly argue about the team they played. Tech's defense, man.
It's awesome,
and look,
dude,
my team's terrible. I watched them against my team. We watched them against BYU a couple times. We saw them throughout the whole Big 12. It is awesome. Their linebackers are sensational.
Yep.
Their pass rush is pretty damn good. Like, if they're built on anything, it's that defense is carry. They kind of Oregon-ish in some ways. Like, their defense is a little better than their offense, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm curious of what you just generally think of the matchup.
I mean, Baron Morton, their quarterback, is a problem, too. I know he's been banged up a couple of times this year and missed a few games. The receivers are good. They're going to push the ball down the field. They're more balanced. Dickey, their top back, is over 1,000 yards this year. I think, though, when you look at Texas Tech, the first thing that stands out is their defensive line. And of the other defensive lines that you played this year, I mean, I think Indiana is getting incredibly disrespected in the way we've talked about them. I think Indiana maybe has one of the best front sevens in the sport.
We talked about them?
Not just in the general we, not you and me. Oh. The general college football world has never put the amount of respect that is deserved on their front seven, and they just bottled up Ohio State and shut down their run game and sacked Julian Sain a couple of times. And so I think their front seven will probably be the best that Oregon has played all year from a schematic standpoint, but from like a size and strength standpoint, Texas Tech's got some big-ass dudes, man. Like, they went into the portal this offseason. They got that guy who's trying to pass a score act, and they said, what do we need to win football games? We need defensive linemen. Let's go get defensive linemen. And that's exactly what they did. And so I think the whole matchup will come down to Oregon's offensive line against Texas Tech's defensive line, and can they run the football on them? And vice versa, it'll be a nice challenge for Oregon's defense, who has been tested here the last couple of weeks. Struggled a bit at times, stopping the throw against USC. We're outstanding in that category against Washington in their final game of the regular season. And now you're going to play a team who's going to have no fear pushing the ball down the field on you.
Did you see that Nevada guy?
Jeff Choate.
Did you see Choate?
I did.
His Oregon comment.
Said, come to Nevada. You can go make $1.5 million to go play left tackle at Oregon. It's a good world, man.
Is there something about you guys that's leading everybody to just when they use
We're the only team that buys recruits, man. Well, we're the only teams that buys. We only buy players. See, nobody else does it.
I took his comment as more of a compliment to you.
I think it was a comment. I think that's his legitimate recruiting pitch of like, we'll develop you. Once you get to the point that you've been developed, you'll go make money. And I'd imagine Oregon was just top of mind because Isaiah World was his left tackle and now he's at Oregon.
But it's a fair thing to say, and I didn't think it was a shot. It's just funny that every time it's either a shot or it's a compliment. It's always Oregon.
We're the only ones that spend money, man. Chris Henry Jr. is playing pro bono at Ohio State. Don't you know that?
By the way,
Oregon was the only team that was offered. Texas didn't offer him any money. USC didn't offer him any money. He's playing at Ohio State for free.
The only reason I bring that comment up that we didn't play today is because you want to talk about getting talent. Joey McGuire in Texas Tech. Oh, my God.
Looks out with how quickly you can turn things around. Texas Tech was a good team the last couple of years. Hell, they almost beat Oregon a couple of years ago.
They did.
Was that Lanning's second year? I can't remember.
Second year.
That was 2023 year, I believe. They damn near beat him, and then Oregon had the pick six late, and they made a big field goal late, and they ended up pulling away and covering the spread.
Right.
So there's a little bit of history there between the two teams, but yeah, it's funny how quickly you can turn things around. They clearly have invested the right way over the past offseason, and they were the most dominant team in the Big 12. And once you saw them do what they did to Utah early in the year, it was like, all right, They're going to win it.
Yeah, that's what my take was.
Because I thought Utah was the best team in the Big 12 coming into the year, and they just obliterated them in Salt Lake City, and that thing was over.
Let's carry over a little conversation with our guy Josh Pate. He's going to join us, give us his thoughts on the playoff, the reaction to all of it, the potential matchups that we have from the first into the second round. Josh Pate, third hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.